There is a very strong theme of the grimness of death in the readings this weekend. And whilst we talk about being in the joy of the Lord, death is very much a part of life. As you would all know, someone said, death and taxes, they are the inevitable, and you've heard that many times. Bit of a challenge on a weekend when we have Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island focus before us, and also in this parish we have confirmation. So I look at the readings and I look at what's going on locally, and then I look at what's going on nationally, and it's a bit of a challenge at times to pull the threads together, but I actually find it quite easy this weekend. And so my preparation for weekends like this begin by, of course, going through all of the readings for the Mass, even the opening prayer. And if you look at the opening prayer, which has been and gone for most of you, you will see that the words light and darkness are there. And they fit so beautifully with the theme of confirmation. If you go to the closing prayer for today's Mass, you will see that the word the fruits are there. May we produce good fruit. And in confirmation, we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit as well. And the one that I like to focus on mostly is joy. Well, it depends what's going on, but joy is so often mentioned through the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament. And that is the sign. It's a visible sign to everybody else in the world who might be sad because of death, that the Spirit is alive, at least in this individual. And people might say, what makes her or what makes him so happy? And that's a very good question. But when we ask that question, we could also ask, why is that person so sad? Why is that person not joyful? And I think that question becomes more relevant when we come into the church setting or into the church community where the Spirit is alive and active, and we see people who aren't or who don't reflect that. So there are lots of challenges there, and part of it is for us not to be judgmental when we visually gaze on another person, but to cast our mind and our heart a little deeper to see, well, I actually don't know what's going on in that individual's life. And our circumstances change in the click of a finger. They change instantaneously for some of us, and you will know that. And so the gospel today talks of a life-changing event for a 12-year-old girl. And there again comes another thread for me, because the age of the kids who were there for confirmation is 12 years of age. So it's not a challenge for me last night and at the 10 o'clock Mass to talk to children and to parents, because parents who are sitting there with their 12-year-old kids preparing for that moment of confirmation, they can gaze on that child and say, that child could well be in this gospel. And there are people in this church this morning that have lived through the tragedy of watching their 12-year-old or even younger die prematurely. So it's very, very grounding, and we shouldn't avoid that. And for those who live through that horror, they can't avoid it. And their sadness that might be exhibited on the outside is absolutely genuine. But if we don't know that, because we're not connected as a community, we just are a whole bunch of individuals who come together, and we don't know what goes on in the great sadness of people's lives, we can't help them. But there are times when we do know that there is sadness going on, and there are things that we can do. And Australians, and most communities, to be fair, are very good at pulling together when the chips are down. Now, I saw a placard recently, sadly it was in America, which is going through its own challenges in leadership, I think, at the moment, and I feel quite sad a lot of the time for my dear American friends. I've got one good mate, and she says, I've got to go around pretending I'm a Canadian. But the challenges that America faces, well, they will come through, I'm confident there. But this placard this person held up after yet another massacre with guns, this placard said, Mr. Trump, don't give us your prayers, take away the guns. And I think of that prayer is only good in sad situations if something good flows from it, if an action of goodness comes out of it. That's the gift of the Spirit. To say to somebody, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, in one sense that's trivial. In another sense it's absolutely genuine, I understand that. But it's trivial when it's not followed through with an action of genuine charity or love. I won't go into the American gun debate. That's way too easy for me and apparently way too hard for them. But for Australians, when we look at our local circumstances, and we began our Mass today on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Sunday, which isn't a church Sunday, it's a national event. This whole NAIDOC week, when we say we pray for the Aboriginal people, really, that's up there on the same placard, unless we actually do something constructive to support Aboriginal people, the first peoples of this country. How do we support them? Well, I know that that's a challenge, but it's not a challenge that is beyond us. It is a challenge that at times is right within our grasp. I think it's a bigger challenge in this parish because we're actually not particularly connected to an Aboriginal community. But if we were at Queanbeyan, or if we were going inner west a little bit to places towards Cowra, where there are rivers, there are communities of Aboriginal people. So I think it would have more relevance this Sunday where you're actually connected to a community. So my challenge would be for the Sacred Heart Parish here, or Sacred Heart Church, is to how can we be connected to our first peoples? And it's fine to carry a flag in, and as the kids will do for confirmation. And we start with actually silence in the church, and we come in with clapping sticks for confirmation this weekend. And between Marist College and Sacred Heart School, it's done very beautifully. But it just remains words on a placard unless we can actually follow it through. And that remains, for me still here, in this part of Canberra, a real challenge. And then I'll look at the gospel, and I've got that issue of a little girl dying. And then I look at the Aboriginal people and I think, why is it in Australia that healthcare and education, but particularly healthcare, why is that beyond the grasp of our first peoples? It is way beyond the grasp of so many of them. We should not be penalised, any of us, because of the place where we live. We shouldn't be penalised because of our heritage. There are some things in life that are absolutely basic, and health is one of them. This little girl was 12. Jesus went right through all of the social barriers because she was dead. Anybody who came near the dead were ritually unclean. He did not give a rat's about any of that. And he went straight to the source of the problem, which is people dealing with death. I'm taking it to going to the source of the problem with a country who cannot deal appropriately with everybody receiving appropriate health care. The statistics for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders on child death, on child abuse, not institutional, but child abuse, for family destruction, for addiction issues, is way, way out of proportion. And therefore, our jails are proportionately way, way too high with young Aboriginal people. So something in our system is quite broken. And we have, I think, within our lifetime and within the wealth of this part of the nation, we have an opportunity to truly turn our prayer into something practical, to do something. Now, whether that's by the way we vote or we actually get off our pews and physically go and seek out those in need or somewhere in between, I'm not quite sure. But it is something that we can do as a community. Not just as an individual, it's way too hard as an individual. Jesus didn't go into that death house on his own. He took with him Peter, James and John. He took his companions. And then he took in with him, after he booted everybody else out, he took in with him those who were suffering the most, the parents of this little child. So perhaps our solution lies in the fact that You're Peter, James and John. And perhaps I'm the one that should be leading all of you into the death house of what I'm saying is a health issue for our first peoples. There are many other issues, but that's the one I'm concentrating on this morning because of the readings. Perhaps that's what we have to do and what I have to do. And then we take with us the parents of those who are suffering. So we need to connect, I think, as a parish to our first peoples, somewhere within our vicinity, or even we start to sponsor somewhere beyond our immediate vicinity so that we turn our prayer into practical action. I leave that thought with you on this Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Sunday because there are a lot of words, but there just doesn't appear to be much action. And I think that we, as a relatively well-off parish, we are guilty of that. And I think it's got to stop.